If weight management is one of your New Year goals, Quiksilver Scientific's GLP-1 Amplifier can help. This science-backed formula supports metabolic balance, curbs cravings, and promotes healthy blood sugar levels, making it easier to stay consistent and in control. It helps give your body the boost it needs to keep you on track. Feel confident and energized this year with Quiksilver Scientific's GLP-1 Amplifier. Get 10% off and free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. Again, that's tryqs.com/podcast for 10% off and free shipping. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra-lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Welcome back in hour three of the show. Nick Sainert, Bill Bush, Jake Sorensen out for today and tomorrow. Steve Sippel is in Vegas working. And so Bill is stuck with me here on Monday and Tuesday.
Swim's organized. I like it.
Bill, hour three of the show sponsored by NEVCO.
The Co.
Now hiring at Concrete Industries for precast production laborers. Check them out at concreteindustries.com or NEVCOinc.com for more information. Shout out to the friends at NEVCO for their partnership here. Okay, so once again, Spencer Checkitz, ESPN Salt Lake City, will join us in less than 10 minutes as we have plenty to get to with Spencer of ESPN Radio out in Salt Lake. I'm fascinated to ask him to kick off the thing, just what these last 2.5 weeks have been like for him, because it went from Utah not only losing, I'm going to say losing because it was a step down. It was Kyle Whittingham chose to step down publicly, that is, from his post as the head coach at Utah. But now it went from at least just figuring out his options and figuring out what he wanted to do to now being the head coach at one of the premier jobs in all of college football. It's been a crazy 2.5 weeks, and Kyle Whittingham, who we expected to see on Wednesday coaching in the bowl game for one final time, he won't be there in Vegas.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. Spence will have a lot of great insight on that. See, think about this. So we have the person who's going to be on the show is going to have insight on one of the biggest hires in the history of college football because of the past and some of the scandal situations. If you want to use the word term scandal, but there's been obviously a situation where the head coach was fired. And now the hire is such a huge story, so we get to have a chance to hit on that. Then we get to back it up with, oh, that's also who Nebraska's playing in the bowl game.
Yeah.
And so we get a hit on the information of what's their team like? What's it like now with Morgan Scalley running the team? Mm-hmm. Because during this time, trust me, even though it was to the very end, Kyle Whittingham would have been running the football team. It wasn't going to be like that. Well, I'm out of here, so I'll just kind of – you guys run meetings and I'll be by for the game and stuff. Oh no, he was going to run everything to the fullest all the way through. And so now there's a completely different vibe there. So it'd be interesting to see, because there was a lot of, wasn't there? I mean, I'll ask the super fan and you, Nick, a lot of like, well, tough game to win because they're do everything they can to win one for Coach Whittingham in his last
absolutely
game.
Yeah. I think naturally also though, you look at Utah and what they have done well this season matches up with what Nebraska hasn't been able to stop or defend this entire season. And then that's just the physicality of running the football right at you.
And then that'll be something I said, where is it with the two missing, with the missing linemen? I don't know that for sure. They won't change. There's a lot of discussion that Beck, the OC, is going to with Coach Whittingham to Oregon. So with that being said, he wants to look good in this game.
Yeah,
it doesn't look good for them for him to be score 9 points against Nebraska. The Michigan fans are watching this game very closely to see who is going to be their next offensive coordinator, who everyone feels that Jason Beck is the next person. So it's very important for him to be able to have those guys play well during that time.
Before we get to Spencer here in a couple of minutes, what do you think this does for Nebraska's chances? And just in These are all guys that not only the fans expected one more game with Kyle Whittingham, but so did the players. And now, over Christmas break, granted, they've probably flew in. I would imagine Utah got there the same day Nebraska did on December 26th. They did, because there were events that night that we saw photographs and stuff for. But, I mean, this was right up to the minute that really Coach Whittingham was supposed to be in Vegas. And it becomes official on the afternoon of December 26th, the day that both teams are expected to arrive in Vegas. This was up to the minute, in all honesty.
Yeah, it's quite a storyline, quite a timeline.
Yeah,
of how that was handled. I have no knowledge of this, but it would be cool if Coach Whittingham was able to fly back to Vegas, just not even to be dressed, just to be there, even if he's on the sidelines, standing off on the side, just to be there to have when the game was over, having a chance to. Because there's no one on that Utah team that's upset. They're not, but you abandoned us. You went for a different place. You know, like, it's not like Iowa State, and not the word abandoned, but just, you know, like I said, Coach Campbell left. He left Iowa State. That really wasn't the case at Utah. His time was. He even said, "I didn't want to stay too long." There's some other storylines which I want to be able to ask Spencer about.
Yeah.
As far as like that, was there any sort of tension there that caused him to want to go a different direction or to retire? But he mentioned right away that he never used the word retirement when he stepped away. He just said, "I'm stepping away from Utah." It was never retirement. So that was an interesting take. There's so many storylines with this. I will say this though: when the foot hits the ball, all that crap goes away. All the stuff of like, you know, we're going to win one for this. We're going to have this. We're going to be so jacked up. No, that's not how it works out. Now, your preparation in bowl preparation, you can screw it up, or you can have a team that's so prepared. And I think their preparation on both sides are going to be very, very good. But there is no like that, man. What made you on that third and one get that stop? I remember just thinking, if I can just get this stop, you know, for coach, or if I can just get this first down for coach. No, that's not how it works. That all goes away. So it's still going to be, you know, how do you play with the D line? How do you play with this? All those different things that goes on, O line, quarterback play, you know, who's rusty, who hasn't done much, all those things are going to come into play.
Yeah. Once again, 464-5685, the Honda Lincoln hotline, the Starter Heyman text line are open for you. Derek in a car chimed in and said, "Can't wait to hear you guys pick this game, but I'm going to predict a Husker win against Utah. Utah has many players sitting out. Plus with all the coaches and such, NU hopefully has locked in during practice and will show up, especially on special teams. Go Big Red." I think, Bill, how much does this change things for Nebraska's opportunity to win? With obviously the offensive lineman, the guys sitting out. But do you feel like Nebraska now, not necessarily favored, but it's more of an even opportunity for both sides?
Yeah, I've said it for the last 2 weeks. It's the best opportunity Nebraska's ever had to beat a 15th ranked team.
Yeah.
Just because of it's not the same team, but the number's the same, and so that doesn't change. I've always said if you're gonna beat a high ranked team, and 15th's not a ridiculously high ranked team, but it's a high ranked team, you want to beat them early, which means that somebody is ranked 12th or 9th or whatever, or a Penn State ranked second, and they're not a second. They're not. That's not who they are, and so you have a chance to upset them early on or late in the season when it's just not the same. As far as the team on the field. Now, there's some difference with Nebraska also, but I still feel Nebraska is ahead of Utah in that spot. That I think Utah has a bigger gash,
yeah,
with the two offensive tackles being out, more so than Emmett. And also the quarterback play for Nebraska with Latif have played, you know, what, four games now, had a chance to play in a lot of football, and he's playing indoors. You know, yeah. Dome Stadium, a lot of family be there. He's close to home.
Yeah.
So I think that adds up really well.
It was funny. TJ Latif was talking about that, I think with Sean Callahan of Husker Online earlier this week in Vegas. He said, he's like, "Look, I'm a West Coast guy. Like this, it was nice. I went home for Christmas and we got out here to Vegas, and I have," I think he said, 30 to 35 members of his family coming to the Las Vegas Bowl. I mean, this is a big opportunity.
Hey guys, Jake Sorensen. Every day, companies you've probably never heard of are making billions off of your personal data. Your name, address, phone number, even details about your family are pulled from public records and the internet and then sold without your consent. There's an entire marketplace making money off your privacy, and most people have no idea it exists. But Aura fights back. They remove your personal data from broker sites and keep it off. Aura also alerts you fast if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. And if your identity is ever stolen, you are backed up by up to $5 million in insurance and 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support to help you recover quickly. Right now, you can try Aura free for 14 days when you visit aura.com/remove. That's enough time for Aura to start removing your personal information from data broker sites. Sign up today at aura.com/remove and get the peace of mind that your privacy, identity, and finances are safeguarded. That's aura.com/remove. Certain terms apply. See the site for details.
If weight management is one of your New Year goals, Quiksilver Scientific's GLP-1 Amplifier can help. This science-backed formula supports metabolic balance, curbs cravings, and promotes healthy blood sugar levels, making it easier to stay consistent and in control. It helps give your body the boost it needs to keep you on track. Feel confident and energized this year with Quiksilver Scientific's GLP-1 Amplifier. Get 10% off and free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. Again, that's tryqs.com/podcast for 10% off and free shipping. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Hopefully for TJ Lateef, I think, to somewhat springboard also into next season. Yes, so we'll see.
The storylines go on and on.
Yeah, exactly. So I believe we have Spencer on the line. Let's go ahead and go to our Aloe VIP line. VIP line brought to you by Aloe Fiber, where they understand the importance of exceptional service with local heart. Spencer Checkitz of ESPN Radio in Salt Lake City joins myself and Bill. Spence, appreciate you taking the time here. Kind of just start us off with what the last 2.5 weeks have been like for you. As Kyle Whittingham announces that he's stepping away from the Utah football program, everything getting ready for the Las Vegas Bowl, and then the bombshell drops on Friday when it's officially announced that he's going to be the new head coach at the University of Michigan.
Yeah, I think a lot of people around here were expecting Kyle to retire. It didn't surprise a lot of people around the program, because I think a lot of people felt like he was going to step down a year ago if they had a better season. But with all the injuries that piled up, it just didn't work out very well. There's still plenty of things that I don't think have come to light that probably will over the next few weeks about how this went down behind the scenes. But you could tell that Kyle was not done coaching. After he decided to step down, all of the messaging seemed to indicate that he still wanted to keep going. I mean, the announcement itself did not have the word retire in it. Mm-hmm. He gave some public comments on our radio station the week after, where he said he still had fire left. His son, Alex Whittingham, gave an interview to the Salt Lake Tribune saying that his dad still wanted to coach and help a team win. And then after their first practice back to prepare for the bowl game, there was media availability after the practice, and Witt said, I'm in the transfer portal, you know, basically just put it out there. So it's surprising in a lot of different ways, because it's hard to imagine Kyle Whittingham coaching another football team since he's been coaching Utah for 21 years, 32 years, as Bill knows, as a coach with the Utes. But very happy for Witt. I think Michigan made a great hire, and now it's Morgan Scalley's time.
Spence, appreciate you so much being on the show, because obviously you know it's an hour earlier out there. And thank you for having me on with you. We've spent a lot of time together, so I appreciate this
bunch. Sure.
How about the hard question right now? Can you give us any information on the backstory that you keep reading, you know, between the lines a little bit, that there was tension between Coach Whittingham and obviously he was a personal friend of mine and athletic director, and was there some sort of a nudge or a push on this, or was this completely Kyle's decision?
Yeah, I think the language forced out is too harsh. I think that's probably too harsh. But I do think there are plenty of people, and not just the athletic director, but certainly So Mark Parlin, who's the AD out here, I think, well, he was in a tough spot because ultimately how this went down is that Morgan Scali has been the coach in waiting for 6 years now. And there are a lot of the money people, and in this day and age of college athletics, you have to keep your money people happy, that were ready to see Morgan take over and just kind of feel like it's time for Witt to maybe go do something else. And so it wasn't as strong as being forced out. But the other dynamic here is that Witt himself was alluding to the possibility of him stepping down a year ago. And most people were preparing for that. And then he said, well, wait, no, I'm actually coming back. And Morgan himself was kind of like, all right, so when is this transition actually happening? Because Morgan Scali has received interest over the years for head coaching jobs, for high-level coordinator jobs. And there was even a belief of some in the program that when Kalani Sitake was talking to Penn State, that deal was so far down the road for Kalani to take over as Penn State's head coach, and he wanted Morgan to be his defensive coordinator because those two obviously know each other really well. So there, and now how set in stone is that? I don't think we'll ever really know. But I was told that Morgan went to administration. Some of the big money people were under the impression that Morgan was starting to look at these opportunities because if he's going to keep, you know, being told that he's going to take over this program and the can is kicked down the road, that he's going to go take another one of these jobs. So again, forced out, I think, is too strong. But I think when Kyle decided that he wanted to keep coaching and made that known to the Utah administrators, Mark Parlin, combined with the knowledge that some of the money people were ready to see this transition, you know, basically he said, we're just going to go with the plan that we've had in place. You know, even though obviously Kyle still wanted to keep coaching.
Very good. That's obviously intriguing information. Obviously, I'm close with both, with Morgan from coaching him and obviously with Kyle. And it seemed like everything worked out, be honestly, great. How awesome has this been, Spence, for you being in media? Your storylines have been unreal. I mean, you have a coaching change. Now one of the biggest coaching hires ever is a Utah guy going to Michigan. Oh, by the way, we have a bowl game with a new head coach taking over against a Nebraska team. So the storylines have to be a blast. Tell us about the team. What's the vibe of Utah? We have a bowl game going on. Where are they going to be with the new leadership? And what do you think? That's what the Nebraska fans listening to you right now would like to know. What is the vibe of this Utah football team?
Well, I think a lot of people are very optimistic about what Morgan will be able to do as far as leading this team into the new era of college football. Now, for this bowl game specifically, they're going to be without their two best offensive linemen in Caleb Lomu and Spencer Fano, who are both going to be first-round NFL draft picks. And Utah was the best rushing team in the Big 12 this year, and I think they were top four in the country, and in some metrics even better than that. One of the most elite rushing teams in college football, but it was because of their offensive line. So without Caleb Lomu and Spencer Fano, this team will look different. There are going to be some other players, you know, who have elected to tap out. Spencer's brother, Logan, who's a defensive end, won't play either. But, you know, this is a team that wants to compete and they want to keep playing. You know, the whole conversation about meaningless bowl games, or if you're not in the CFP, you know, obviously that's a conversation that several around college football are having right now. That doesn't apply to this team. You know, they're juiced for it. From what I can tell, they're excited to keep playing football. Morgan will have them ready. It is fascinating to your point to wonder what this shift has meant to where they're at mentally, because, you know, the reports are Witt apparently was traveling with Utah when the deal with Michigan came down. And so all these kids have their phones out. They're like, wait a second, what is going on here? And then Kyle had to inform the team of his plans and then hop on a plane to fly to Orlando to meet with Michigan. So I don't think there's any way that you can say there's no way that will affect them at all. But, they have known for a long, long time. Morgan's been the coach in waiting for a number of years. And anyone involved in the program, I think, thought this transition was happening last year. But now that it happened this year, I think it just really pushed the contingency plan back 1 year. You know, a lot of people around the country surprised at this. Not a lot of people at the University of Utah very surprised at this.
Spencer Checkets of ESPN Radio in Salt Lake City is with us here on the Isle of VIP line. And I want to ask you more about the game in a couple of minutes, but you mentioned the mentality of it, of the team. I want to ask the mentality of the fan base right now, because they've also gone through a lot, and this is a popular bowl game for Utah to attend over the last several number of years. This is the seventh time that Utah is going to play in it. Do you see that having any effect on the fact of that Kyle Whittingham? Do they appreciate Kyle Whittingham the way they should, as somebody that's won 67% of his games at Utah and has had, I think, 8 or 9 double-digit win seasons, including this one?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think anybody who has a long-term understanding of Utah athletics remembers very well, you know, and I went to Utah in the 90s, and we were a basketball school. You know, it was Rick Majerus, tournament runs, you know, winning conference championships, going to Final Fours, almost winning a national championship. And, you know, Bill knows this because he was part of the staff. The transition that has taken place, and it was a bit of a long-term play, because it took some time for Ron McBride to kind of rebuild the football program. And then in 2 years, Urban Meyer coming here. And, you know, I always say Ron McBride built the foundation, Urban built the mansion, and Whit built the estate. But now this is a football school. It's a football school whose basketball program, quite frankly, is on life support, unfortunately. And so there are a lot of people that are responsible for the evolution of Utah athletics. Dr. Chris Hill, the former athletic director. I mentioned Ron McBride, Urban Meyer, but nobody deserves more credit than Kyle. And so if you're a Utah fan with the ability to look outside of your blinders to understand exactly what that man just did, to take you to really truly become one of the preeminent football programs in the Western United States. You know, there's obviously Oregon and USC, and I could go down the list, but Utah's right up there. They won Pac-12 championships. They played head to head against the SCs and Oregon's and oftentimes beat them. And the man responsible most for that growth is Kyle Whittingham. So even though he's wearing Michigan blue, which still doesn't look right to me, you know, I think a lot of people around here will always be indebted to him.
Spence, real quick, it appears to me that we've talked about on our show here that both teams have turned their keys that this game matters. It appears as if, like, so what will the fan base be for Utah? We feel that from the Nebraska standpoint, you're probably going to be 20 to 25,000 fans here, because people can drive from L.A., a ton of fans in California from Nebraska, a ton in Arizona, so they'll show up. Tell us what the fan base will be look like, and does this have a chance to break the record of whatever, 44,000 to a game? But it sure appears right now that both these teams are highly interested, and it also appears as if the fan base is. What's your take on the Utah fan base for this game?
I know a lot of people had planned to go. This will be interesting, because I know a lot of people had planned to go because it was Kyle's last game. You know, we had the last home game here in Salt Lake against Kansas State, and nobody knew if it was Kyle's last home game. It turns out that it was, but the fans really didn't get an opportunity to say thank you and show their appreciation. I wish the administration would have done something different that night, quite frankly. But I think a lot of Ute fans have planned to make the trip just because it was Kyle's last game. And I can't imagine that people are going to cancel their trip just because Kyle's not coaching in it. So 2025 might be aggressive. But approaching that, I mean, there's going to be a lot of red in the stadium, obviously, regardless, because of both teams' colors. But I do think you'll see a healthy contingency of Ute fans making that trip. It's a very easy trip to Las Vegas. And, you know, we've got a community around here that isn't necessarily surrounded with the ability to put money on games or pull a slot machine or sit down and throw some cards. So Lavelle Edwards once said famously, you know, if BYU is to play in Vegas, then the Mormons would show up with a $50 bill, and they wouldn't break either the honor code or their $50 bill, but they'd have a good time in Vegas. So we'll have a lot of people here that just want to make the trip just to go see, you know, Las Vegas and get out of Salt Lake for a little bit.
Spencer, let's talk big picture Utah football here for just a second. Like, looking into next year, obviously Coach Scully's the coach in waiting. That's been the plan. However, obviously, there's a lot of reports about who Coach Whittingham could bring with him to Michigan. I mean, where is there concern around the Utah and BYU football programs? Because I think those are somewhat intertwined. And if I'm wrong on that from what I'm reading, then please call me out. But for the most part, I mean, where's the concern level at, big picture-wise, about assistants and players that in this day and age of college football could be following, you know, a Utah legend?
The number one concern, and it's the only thing that could change the narrative as far as how people feel about Kyle. Now, look, Kyle's accomplishments here will always stand. And I do think at some point, whether it's a statue or naming a field after him, he will be honored, as he should be, for 21 years as the head coach. That will never change. But what will change the way people feel about him now is how this plays out concerning who follows him to Michigan. Jay Hill, I think that's done. As my understanding is, that's done. So BYU's defensive coordinator is going to Michigan. Mm-hmm. The reports are he wants Jason Beck, who's Utah's offensive coordinator. And Kyle himself, during the introductory press conference, said he's bringing seven or eight assistants with him. That could be names like Sharif Shah, who coaches Utah's defensive backs. It could be names like Lewis Powell, who coaches the defensive line. Jim Harding feels like a no-brainer because he might be the best offensive line coach in the country, and he has proof of concept almost year after year now, and he's about to send two tackles into the NFL as first-round picks. I think Utah loses four or five coaches. I think BYU loses at least one more, and then we'll have to see where he goes from there. And then the other thing is, if there's been official news about this, I just haven't seen it, but Bryce Underwood, who's Michigan's quarterback and the number one recruit in the country last year, if he doesn't come back to Michigan, Utah starting quarterback Devin Dampier has not announced his intent for next season officially. He's alluded to the potential of coming back to Utah, but there's nothing official. There's nothing signed. There's no announcement. So if BYU is going to lose their defensive coordinator and maybe another coach or two, Utah might lose their offensive coordinator and maybe three or four other coaches, if not more. Fans don't show up to watch coaches coach. They show up to watch players play. So if the starting quarterback leaves and maybe, I don't know, three or four other players as the transfer portal opens after the new year, you combine that with the mass exodus potential, you know, of the coaches leaving, that could change the way people view Witt and also put Morgan in a really tough spot as soon as next year. Because if Kyle takes all these coaches, all these players, goes to Michigan, competes for a Big Ten championship, goes to the CFP, and Morgan wins five or six games year one, then I think you'll hear the sentiment shifts towards more anger about how this all went down.
That makes total sense. Quick question. Is there any chance that there is a plane that takes Kyle back to this game and he's on the sidelines or has a chance to be around this game at all, just to have one last wave from the sidelines? And he would never want to be a distraction. Me, both know him well. Like I said, he's a great friend of mine. Is there any chance, because how crazy this timeline is, that he shows up for this game and is able to, without being a distraction, for the fans of Utah, to be able to say thank you one time?
I would doubt it. I mean, only because Michigan's paying him $30 million in guarantees. So, like, he's got to go to work, I would imagine. I mean, is there a small shot that he decides to come back? But, you know, I guess potentially, but my understanding is he had to get on a plane and go start his new job. And, you know, if you're getting paid the kind of money they're paying Kyle, you know, I would imagine the Michigan administration very much wants him to continue to go to work, you know, and knowing Kyle, you know, as you do, Bill, I would imagine there's a massive checklist of things to do as new head coach of Michigan, as opposed to, you know, hanging on for one more moment, even though the fans would love to see it. You know, as far as you know, the situation with Utah.
Spence, could you imagine the checklist? Because I can't. And I spent my whole life in the profession, and I still couldn't imagine the checklist of, because it's so different now. It's been added on. You've had a checklist when you change jobs. Now with the new world football, it's tenfold, and the checklist is ridiculous. And so I couldn't imagine that he has any time to even breathe to try to put this together. How am I going to hold this team together? He's watching him practice. Is Michigan's quarterback coming back? Who's my staff going to be? We have billionaires walking around the building. I need to talk to. I have administration. I can't even imagine. Oh, also, you're taking over a program that has probably as much attention as any place in the country. It's a Notre Dame, Ohio State-ish type, Alabama. With like the microscope is so strong, and that will be something for when you go there as an assistant coach and all this. How you're viewed at this job is incredible, and so what you just said makes total sense because he doesn't have a lot of free time right now. And I said I can't imagine what that's like.
Yeah, I mean, look, in I would say 48 hours, Kyle became a national name already as Michigan's head coach in a way that he never became in 21 years as Utah's head coach. Like, this is a different thing. It's a different level. And even though I'm out here in Salt Lake, I didn't grow up here. You know, I grew up on the East Coast, and, you know, my father was a sports executive in Manhattan with Madison Square Garden. So I understand the magnitude of what pressure is like when you're ramped up with a different job in a different market. And Kyle's going to feel that really for the first time. I mean, he played his college ball at BYU, and the bulk of his coaching career has been at Utah. And if it wasn't at Utah, was it like Idaho State? Like, this is a new level of recognition. It's a new level of pressure, and it's a new level of having to answer to voices that you really didn't have to answer out here in a smaller place like Salt Lake. So look, he's a phenomenal coach. He's an unbelievable guy. Michigan badly needed a palate cleanser, obviously, and that's what this is. I believe the report was Litt follows 11 women on Instagram and is related to all of them. So, you know, it's a safe hire in that direction. And away we go. It's fascinating stuff. I'm excited to see how it plays out.
Spencer Jackets of ESPN Radio in Salt Lake City joining us. Last one for you, Spencer, before we get you out of here. Let's talk one more time about the game on Wednesday. We've heard here in Lincoln all about how Utah runs the football, how they're going to be without two of their offensive linemen and all that, and now all the off-the-field stuff away from it with the coaching staff. What else do we need to know about Utah as Husker observers? If folks are going out to the game in Vegas, what should they know about the Utes football program ahead of the Las Vegas Bowl?
Well, you mentioned the number one dynamic about this team and the reason why they won 10 games in the Big 12 and finished just right outside of the CFP is their ability to really tilt the rock and run the ball. That was their main thing this year. Ironically enough, their calling card under Witt and Morgan Scalley has been their stout run defense. It wasn't good this year. There was a lot of missed tackles. They had some injuries early in the secondary that they never quite were able to overcome. And I think I'll have to check the up-to-date stuff, but I think when the season ended, Utah was like the third worst rushing defense in the Big 12. And some of those numbers were inflated a little bit by some, you know, some bad games down the stretch, but they were excellent against the throw, as Kyle would like to say, the throw game, excellent against the pass, not great in the air. This was a classic Kyle Whittingham rushing the ball football team. Now, they were very elite at that. They were pretty good with special teams this year too. But look, their only two losses on the year were to two really good football teams, and one still playing in Texas Tech, and the other just finished their season winning their 12th game in Brigham Young as they beat Georgia Tech. So it's a good team, and I think they're going to be motivated to play for their new coach. It's fascinated to see if the off-the-field stuff is distracting at all. But if Utah can't run the football, I mean, I think Nebraska got a real shot to get this thing done, even though I think Utah's favored by a decent amount.
Spencer, we cannot appreciate you enough for joining on the show. Obviously, thanks to Bill for setting this up, but great stuff on Whittingham and everything going on with the Utes. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Spence. I'll see you in about 8 hours. I'll be on with you guys in Salt Lake City.
Okay, sounds good, Bill. I appreciate it. You guys be well, okay?
Thank you.
There he is, Spencer Checkets of ESPN Radio in Salt Lake City. Great stuff with Spencer. Wow.
Wow, that was interesting because, like I said, that where we got lucky was just someone that's their everyday job of covering the Utes. And it was interesting. What the things that he talked about with that maybe it was time. And then the one thing that Kyle said when he did step down was sometimes you don't want to overstay your welcome.
Yeah.
And there is something to that. There's some places are like going, hey, it's about if you get 10 years out of somebody or you get 6 to 8 great years or good years, mm-hmm. that's really good because sometimes it's just the fan base gets okay.
Yep.
And then after a while, it's like you don't see those Tom Osborne runs, those Bobby Bowden type runs. You don't see those near as often. And sometimes it can get, and I'm saying it didn't get stale, but that's what Kyle said when he talked about that it just didn't want to overstay his welcome. And maybe it was time. And then I didn't realize that it had been 6 years that Morgan had been the coach in waiting. The coach in waiting was obvious. We all knew that. I didn't know it had been 6.
No.
I had no idea of that.
That's crazy. I mean, you talk about staying in one place for a long time. I mean, how about Kirk Ferentz since 99? Kyle Whittingham since for 21 years was the head coach at Utah. Kirk Ferentz been the head coach at Iowa since 1999. It's just crazy. So
that's insanity.
There you go. Great stuff. If you missed any of that conversation with Spencer, check it to ESPN Radio in Salt Lake. Make sure you check it out on the podcast page, or you can go back on the YouTube stream and just rewind and get it there. When we get back from break, it is time for Mozzarella Monday, sponsored by our friends at Valentino's. Go ahead and send those in. Get those exciting and best of the weekend stuff.
Best of the weekend.
Best of the weekend into the show. Now we'll go through them and we'll pick a winner for a gift card to our friends at Valentino's when we come back on early break.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.